Yeah, show me your boobs.
Hi, hi.
Hey guys.
I'm Shayla.
And I'm Terry. I'm back.
Yeah, welcome back.
Yes.
Was it weird listening to somebody else on your show?
Yeah. I don't like it.
It was weird not having you. I don't know how everybody else felt about it, but I was weird.
I hope everybody else thought it was all right, but they'd rather have me here.
Like, yeah, we'll keep listening, but...
Bring Terry back.
No, we appreciate Jamie for doing that for us, though. That was nice.
I agree. I had to go to work. Lame.
I had to go to work. So, Show Me Your Booze. It's another episode of Show Me Your Booze.
Yay!
Yeah.
We love our Show Me
Your Booze. I really love them. And one reason is, and we haven't gotten to do it a whole lot on air, but being able to talk with our listeners, that's so fun.
I love it as well.
Yeah, it's great. So, the first one we're going to do actually is Lisa, and... she's great. You'll see. You'll love her too. She was excited to share her story, and it's a pretty awesome story.
It is. I agree.
Yeah. So let's just
get into
check out what Lisa has to say.
Let's do it.
Hey guys. So we have one of our favorite listeners on the phone. She's been super supportive and amazing, and we're really excited to hear her story. This is Lisa, and she is from right here in Missouri. So that's great. Lisa, thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to share my story, y'all.
Awesome. And so if you want to just go ahead and start, you go right ahead.
Wonderful. Thank you. So it was a couple of years ago, I guess it was about 3 years ago now, and it was just kind of a normal Saturday night for us, you know, back in the days where you could go out and socialize. We had been hanging out with some friends, and we were getting ready to head back home. It was a little bit after midnight, and from where our friends lived to where our house wasn't that far, maybe 10 miles or so, but it was all mostly back roads, you know, just no highway, just kind of traveling down dirt roads and blacktop roads, which is pretty normal for us. I mean, my husband and I both have lived in this area most of our lives, and there's not a whole lot of areas that we're not super familiar with. So back roads aren't a scary place for us. I know for some people, that's not what you're accustomed to. It's kind of scary. But for us, this is like normal life, essentially.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that, you know, us country folk, it's just how it is.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we do. And we were about halfway home, and we were on a, you know, paved back road, and we were fairly close to a large dairy farm. So we weren't, you know, out in the middle of nowhere with no houses or anything. So there was this figure, just appeared to be a woman with some long dark hair and some heavy highlights. And she was in a long dress or night clothes or something. And she just kind of struck me as odd and out of place. On the other than the fact she was dressed funny, because we have a lot of Amish here, but she didn't really seem to fit the Amish bill either. One thing that kind of I thought was really odd is she never looked up at us. I mean, we're out, you know, after midnight, kind of out in the country. This girl's walking almost by the side of the road, almost in the ditch, and doesn't even look up.
That's odd.
Struck me as kind of odd. Yeah.
It's odd that she's out at that time too, though.
Well, I know. Exactly. And she didn't have a phone in her hand. She wasn't looking at a phone, which, I mean, let's face it, that's odd in itself in this day and age. She wasn't carrying a purse. There was no phone, no flashlight, and, you know, no beer can because, you know, it's Saturday night. Nothing in her hand, nothing. So my husband, he's a super kind guy, and he was worried about her. He's like, well, let's just slow down and let's give her a ride. I'm like, well, you know, I don't mind to slow down and make sure she's okay, stop, but I don't know. I don't know if I really wanted to give her a ride or not. You know.
Oh, yeah.
So he stopped and put the truck in reverse, and we were just going to go back and see if she was okay. Man, he barely got that truck in reverse, and I just had this realization. I got that feeling. I've had experiences most of my life, and when I'm getting ready to have an odd experience, I get this feeling of being literally frozen from the inside out. And it's just, and I've come to realize once I get that feeling, something not quite normal is getting ready to happen. So I completely freaked out. I screamed at him just to leave her alone and just drive forward. He thought I had lost my ever-loving mind.
Well, yeah, of course.
He did what I asked. he's had some odd experiences too, so he wasn't, you know, he wasn't going to question it. So I got kind of calmed down, and we continued down the road, and we passed another truck, and I tried to convince me and my husband that, you know what, if she needs something, that truck can stop for her. You know, if she needs something, there's houses nearby. You know, she's right. Not all alone in the middle of nowhere.
She's not completely stranded. Somebody is available somewhere if she needs help. I get
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah, we weren't her only savior for sure.
Yeah.
And truthfully, this area is perfectly safe. She could have walked to the nearest town and she just would have been tired. You know, it's not like she was really at a huge, I mean, most of the time, I don't think she would have been at a risk. And so truthfully, the feeling of it being weird just kind of stuck with us. You know, we got home and we just went to bed and we both kind of left it alone. And then the next weekend, we were driving out there again and we were actually discussing a missing persons case. The year we graduated, the missing three happened. And we've both been, you know, the Springfield Three.
Yes.
Yeah, and we're both just kind of fascinated by that. And we were just kind of talking about it. And that kind of got my mind moving toward another missing woman's case that was right here from just a few miles from our house. And it happened before I was born, and my husband's family were still in Colorado, so he'd never heard of it. Oh, so wow. I recalled what I could about the case and couldn't really remember much because I wasn't, you know, born yet. And so we looked on the internet and there was a little bit of information, but you know how things are from the early 70s. It's not like today where there's just tons of information everywhere. But I did find the place, the name of the farm that she disappeared from, and my husband knew exactly where it was. He used to milk cows there, and it was less than a quarter mile from where we saw that woman.
Oh, wow.
On the side of the road. Or
yeah, you said you were near a dairy farm. So when you said he used to milk cows there, I was like, oh my God, I know where that's at.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, oh. So we kind of wanted some more information. So my parents were living here. They had just moved here when that happened, actually. So we decided, you know, let's see mom and dad and see what they know. And my parents are usually really cool and will talk to you about anything. I got the distinct impression that my mom was still terrified. She wanted to not talk about this case.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she shut my dad down pretty quick, which doesn't really, I mean, that doesn't really happen much. And before they had moved to this area, the town that they had just moved from had a couple of fairly frightening missing cases of women too, one literally just right down from where they lived. So I'm sure when they moved out to the middle of nowhere at that time, my mom probably felt pretty safe, and then this happened. So pretty much the only information we got on my mom and dad was, well, we bought our first gun. Okay, I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. So that was kind of where we went with mom. So we just kind of left it alone, you know, and we would drive by the place. We saw her quite a bit, and part of it was because that's just our way into that town, but some of us because we were just kind of curious too to see if it would occur again.
Oh yeah.
I ended up having several dreams about her that were fairly vivid, and she was just pleading for help. And sometimes she was just mad and demanding that we help her, or she would pull us into whatever oblivion that she was in.
Wow.
It kind of was terrifying. So we would discuss it, but we didn't really tell a whole lot of people about it because it's, you know, not something that a lot of people want to talk about.
Yeah.
So one evening we were going out to dinner with my husband's sister and her husband. And somehow on the drive home, this encounter was told, and my sister-in-law turned white. Like, she just turned absolutely white. Her mouth dropped open. She was just like, instantly, I'm like, oh, what happened here? And so she had seen the same young woman, about a mile from where we saw her.
Wow.
Broad daylight. Of course, it was kind of rainy and overcast, but still in the day. And she thought it odd at the time because it's literally pouring down rain and this lady is walking on the side of the road in the country. Same thing. She didn't look at her. She didn't look up. She didn't acknowledge her. She didn't carry a phone, didn't carry a purse. And she didn't stop. She was kind of in a hurry and thought, well, you know, maybe she lives near here. And the flooding was really bad that year, and we were close to the river. So she thought, you know, she couldn't even figure out why she was out, to be honest. It was kind of strange. It
doesn't make any sense, right?
Yeah, it just didn't. But she was in a hurry, and so she just kept going to where she was going. And then we were talking to my sister and my nephew, and they had seen a very similar apparition in the same place or very near to where we've seen ours. And so I just kind of feel like one day, if we keep going out there with the right frame of mind, you know, we're going to see her, and hopefully she'll give us some indication of what's happened or somewhere to maybe find something that might give her parents some closure. As far as I know, her parents are still alive. Last time I looked, there's no new leads or anything, and her remains haven't been recovered or anything like that. And I'm kind of hesitant to say names because her parents are still alive.
Are they still in that area?
And I respect them for what they've done and tried to help, but not everyone wants their daughter's story to be told like this.
Right, a ghost story, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to disrespect her family like that. And I still feel really ashamed for freaking out the way I did. And I swear if it happens again, we're going to be more open to hopefully helping. But that's my story. And I hope you guys enjoy it.
I really enjoyed it. So I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned you had all those dreams about her. And I'm curious what your take on your dreams were. Do you think that was some kind of paranormal, like her coming to you? Or do you think maybe that was part of your conscience, maybe?
I think that I probably just had it on my mind so much.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe it could have been her. And if it was, I failed her again, obviously. But I feel like it was probably something, because I am very obsessive. No, that's not right. I kind of get my brain stuck on one thing. And once I latch on, sometimes it's hard to step away from it.
Sure. Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. So I don't know if it was just me kind of being so focused on it, or maybe it was her. Coming in and saying that thought scares me a lot now. Thanks, guys.
Sorry about that. I just wasn't sure what your interpretation of that was exactly. And so you are pretty sure, like you seem pretty sure who you think that it could be. And I'm not gonna ask you to share at all, but you saw her pretty clearly from what I understand, and so did your sister-in-law. Does the description match pretty closely, at least?
It actually does match fairly closely. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that stuck out so odd at the time were the clothing. And apparently when this young lady went, last time she was seen, and the only thing that was missing from her clothing, as far as they could tell, was her nightgown.
Wow.
So that kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, we do have a large Amish population around here, but typically the Amish dress in darker clothing, or, mm-hmm. you know, the clothing just wasn't right to be an Amish, you know, dress.
Uh-huh.
And at first, you know, I just thought we saw something weird. And then the more we thought about it, and we did pull up a couple of pictures on the internet, I'm like, oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it was a pretty good... I feel pretty confident in them that she is an apparition of, or some piece of her we did see. So mm-hmm.
That's a great story. I love it.
Well, thank you.
I can't imagine. To me, that's one of the scariest experiences, is seeing someone along the side of the road at night. And for some reason, a woman makes it even scarier. I don't know why, but... So that's always one of my like nightmare experiences, is seeing someone walking along the road. You mentioned the Springfield 3, and we do plan to cover that. I feel like that's something we kind of have to. That's kind of our Missouri, you know, we own that one. It's just fascinating. It's tragic. It's terrible. I hate it, but you know.
Well, and it's something that probably was one of the first, big disappearances that ever got my attention. And why wouldn't it, you know, because I was the same age as these young ladies. And, you know, just a few miles from, you know, where we all live, and just such a sad, sad thing for their families. And, you know, someone knows something. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I agree. And you it's know, so frustrating. It's, I mean, I was just a child, a young child when it happened. And so for my entire life, it's been just that thing that hangs over everybody's head. And I feel like everybody feels so strongly about it and wants some kind of closure. And I know their families have done a ton of media. So I don't feel, I don't feel as bad as about covering that one. I don't like to do episodes that are on recent events where I think the family is going to be affected negatively. But I feel a little easier about that one.
It's such a hard place to know too, you know, how much coverage do they want and what kind of coverage do they want? And you just want everyone to know, you know, just say something, you know, if you saw something or you know something, you know, tell someone.
I agree. And that's why I think, you know, I feel okay about covering that one, because it's just, I mean, I think everybody knows their story, but I still want more people to know, because somebody knows something and they're just not saying it. And that kind of makes me crazy.
Well, and you're going to reach people that other people haven't, you know, haven't reached.
That's true.
And, you know, and I always feel like maybe the more gets out there, and I would assume that whatever happened to those ladies, you know, maybe it was people that was their own age and now they're having children of their own or grandchildren at this point, you know, do they feel a little guilty? Maybe they want to give some closure to these families. I mean, something.
It could happen. So I hope so. I appreciate
you. Well, I'm excited to listen to that. I'll be glad when you guys get that done.
Me too. I'm excited to cover that one. I've put it off, and I know the story like the back of my hand. I've heard it a million times, so it's not like I couldn't probably just pick it right up without even having to do much research on that one. But
we still want to do it.
Oh, yeah, we still will. But thank you so much, Lisa, for calling in and telling us these stories, because oh my gosh, your story is so cool. And the fact that you think you know who it is, and I mean, as sad as that is to know that that would be the, you know, her end, actually.
But, you know, it just, as far as I know, like I said, her parents are still alive. If they could just get some kind of answers before they pass, I mean, not a blessing, but at least they would know, you know?
Yeah, for sure. That's the saddest part about those missing cases, is there's no closure, and that's terrible. So if you do know of anything that happens in that case and there's any kind of movement, I mean, it seems like probably not after 50 years or so.
Yeah, probably not. But you just never know. There was a situation down here. I want to say it was like pre-COVID. I don't know. It's just so funny. Like everything's either pre or post, right? where there was a story of this lady had lived a few miles from where that happened. Well, probably 6 or 7 miles. And her son had told her about a skull that they found when they were living at this place. And she didn't know anything about it. And here, you know, 20 years later, her son's telling her about it. So she did contact the sheriff's department, and they did do a search in the area that she used to live at, but nothing came about. They didn't find anything. And that was out in the news when that did happen. But unfortunately there was absolutely nothing was found, which is very sad.
But it is sad, but yeah,
and her kids were little. I mean, they didn't know what they were doing, you know,
of course. Yeah.
They didn't tell her about it until 20 years later. So.
But yeah, if anything happens, we want to know so that we can hear something happy happen with that story. And if you have any other experiences you ever want to share, it's been a pleasure. We would love to have you back sometime.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Well, I enjoy you guys, and thank you.
Thank you. And we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Thank you.
So what do you think about Lisa's story?
What?
I know, I'm so excited about it. She had told me a little beforehand, and I was like, oh my God, I cannot wait to share this story because it's so good.
That's insane.
And it's like, so we have this podcast where we do paranormal and we do true crime. And it had both, mm-hmm. technically, if that's what happened. And I thought, how lovely is she to say, I respect her family enough not that's to awesome. Say who, like, some people wouldn't have thought about it. They'd be like, oh yeah, there was this missing person mm-hmm. name. And not even have thought because, you know, too many people don't have that bone or whatever it is.
Bone?
but
I get it because we have back roads where we're in, yeah. at Missouri. Oh, from, yeah.
When she was talking about the back roads, I'm like, girl.
We used to do that for fun. Yes. Just go and talk and drive the back roads. And every time we drive by, like, a graveyard or a cemetery, sorry, I would always be like, oh, my God, what if
yeah.
you see somebody out there in the middle of the night? Would you stop? Would you ask if it was okay?
No.
Me neither. So,
it's just 2020. I have a cell phone to call for help.
Yeah, but no service down there where most of them are.
That's not a lie.
But seriously, if I see somebody walking down the road, it'd be hard to stop in the middle of the night mm-hmm. like that.
It'd be really hard to stop. I wouldn't. I know I wouldn't.
Yep, just go around.
Sadly, I don't have that in me. If I saw somebody hurt, even, I don't know that I could stop because I would be too scared mm-hmm. because you just don't know. Like,
they could be faking.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I know I had a family member who came up on an accident, and the woman had crawled to the side of the road and was laying beside the road, and like, she was alive but not doing well. And I thought, when she told that story, I was like, that is the most terrifying thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, oh, that's terrible. Yeah. Seeing somebody along the side of the road because it doesn't belong. It's not right. It's no. And it puts you in that position of, oh my God, what do I do? Because you don't win there. There is no winning that that conversation with yourself. It's like, do I stop and maybe get murdered by a banshee? Because that's what it is to me. or do I keep going? And then I, you know, you're constantly conscious. Think yeah. about, oh, okay, well, that poor girl probably just died there on the side of the road.
Because you wouldn't stop
because
and help.
I didn't stop and help. And
it's crazy. A lot of the wrecks that I've worked, not a lot, but some of the wrecks I work is way off the road. Like, vehicles literally fly off the road out in the woods. So I could see where people would walk up to the road needing help and people just be too scared to stop or something.
Yeah, me. Too scared to stop. So let's all pray that Shayla don't ever need help along the side of the road. Because
karma.
Karma. Yeah. Everybody's going to be like, no, you're scary looking. Bye-bye.
No, but that's a crazy story. Hopefully she sees her again and mm-hmm. then we get to hear about what happens, like, if she does get to stop.
And that's what somebody,
unless it's something bad. We don't want
to. No, we don't want that. But actually, that's something Amy Bruni, if anybody ever asks her, like, what's your biggest goal in the paranormal field, she will say to solve a crime.
Oh, that's
using,
cool.
Investigating. Yeah. So I'm like, that's what I want to see. Why wouldn't that be your biggest goal? Like,
to help somebody close a chapter in
yes,
somebody's life.
Yes. And so that would be so great to, like, find out what happened. And
you'll never have that experience. You won't stop and help people.
No, that's true. Because it's
or ghost.
A bitch. Oh, that's stupid. Anyway. The next story we have is from Nancy. And I'm going to read this one. Nancy, she's such a great storyteller. And she is always, always telling me stories, sending me stories, talking about different things. You need to look into this. You need to look into that. So she's really fantastic, but she does not want to be on the air.
Come on.
And she's a huge supporter. She's sharing things, she's buying merch, she's posting the pictures of it. She's fantastic. She just does not want to talk on the podcast, which I completely understand, because most of the people we talk to are like, I hate my voice.
Nope,
I'm not
yeah.
gonna be on there. I'm like, yeah, well, it took me a little while to get over that. But so I'm just gonna share her story. I'll just read it as she
sounds
wrote
good.
It because she's a fantastic writer. So It's awesome. Here we go. Nancy's story. Thank you, Nancy. Missouri is well known for its many natural springs. Some are filled with tasty water, but some of the water travels through sulfur rocks or layers of rocks underground that doesn't taste as good as others. As a rule, spring water is considered the best drinking water around. I agree.
Valid.
I've drank it from a spring a lot. Drank it from a
that
spring.
That don't even make sense.
That was not Nancy's writing. That was totally me talking or attempting to talk. Many early settlers made it a habit to find a spring for a water source before deciding where to build a permanent home. Mm-hmm. At the turn of the 19th century, a lot of people considered spring water to have a healing gift. Even spring water that didn't taste so good was considered good medicine. Native Americans had certain springs that they valued for healing springs. When the white settlers learned of these healing springs, they would also seek them out for medicinal reasons. When spiritualism rocketed to fame in the late 1800s and early 1900s, going to spas of natural springs was considered a luxury and a way to physical, mental, and spiritual health. In Nevada, Missouri, in Vernon County, a healing hospital offering what became in the 1960s New Age healing techniques. Healing springs popped up all over Missouri, and people would come to the springs by the trainloads. Wishing to continue the tourist trade and incoming visitors to Missouri, many companies opened up healing springs resorts across the state. Having studied this history, I was determined to visit one of the many now defunct healing springs in Vernon County. Named Zodiac Springs, due to there being 12 springs within walking distance of each other, this resort area was greatly popular with tourists from across the United States and even Europe. What was forgotten with all the hubbub was that these springs had belonged first to the Native American tribes of that area. The Fox, Osage, and Sac tribes had shared these 12 springs for centuries and were not happy with the intrusions. They didn't like the fact that they were forced to leave these springs behind when sent to live on reservations in Oklahoma and other places. My husband knew the family on whose property the Zodiac Springs were located.
Nice.
With their permission, we went there one afternoon just to see the springs and to see if the water still flowed. Our young daughter went with us. All started out well. The sun was shining, a cool breeze blew through the dense forest where the springs were at. Although there had been small stone buildings built to hold each of the springs, they were now mostly torn down. As I walked with my daughter, I glanced at my husband, who had discovered a small open-mouthed cave across the clearing from where my daughter and I stood. He was pulling a rock out of the wall of the cave, using his pocket knife to loosen it. He held it up and yelled for my daughter to come see it. I grabbed her and wouldn't let her leave my side. The breeze had become cold. The clear, sunny day suddenly became black. I looked around, and from each of the 12 spring openings, a rolling black mass rose straight up into the air. It formed a face, and it turned to look at me and my daughter.
Shut up.
No.
Sorry. Whoa.
What should have been thunder quickly turned into a fierce growl. I felt terrified. I knew I was in the sights of a predator, a supernatural predator. I grabbed my daughter's hand. She looked at the blackness and started screaming, "Run!" I shouted to her, pointing the way to the truck. Feeling the black mass in hot pursuit behind us, we ran as fast as we could from the springs toward the truck. When I passed my husband, I yelled, "Put the rock back down and run." That's so funny. That's something you would say. Put the rock down and run. he looked at me, then glanced at the sky. His face went pale. He asked what was going on, and I said, "We need to go now." Without another word, we ran to the truck and got out of that pasture as fast as we could. I know that was a Native American guardian spirit, and it didn't take much thinking to figure out that it was mad. I've never been back to Zodiac Springs.
Wow, that is crazy.
Isn't it? That's intense. I want to go see it, though.
Well, don't be digging rocks out of stuff.
I know. I love when she said, put the rock down and run.
She's a good writer.
I know.
I love how she told the story, like the history at first.
Uh-huh. That's a crazy story.
It is. I would have been freaked.
No kidding.
Put the rock back.
What did you do? I mean, I guess we're assuming that it's the rock that made it happen, but maybe it was just them being there.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I think you would get more claims than that if it was just them being there. Because to me, it seems like they have a lot of respect and they mm-hmm. understand the history and they know. And
I figured he triggered something, though, when he started digging around in the walls.
Yeah. So that's Nancy's story.
Yeah.
crazy, but Nancy's lived, man.
She's got experiences.
It's quite fascinating, actually.
It is. It really is.
She's amazing. So thank you, Nancy, very much for sharing your story with us. And we had another one lined up that fell through last minute. So I'm just going to share one of mine. It's a small one, but I've got so many that I can just pull one out of my hat.
What? I thought that was going to be a beat moment. And
share it anytime. I know. So I'm going to talk about the first job that I had straight out of high school. I worked in a restaurant. It was an old-fashioned soda shop. So I don't know if you know what that is. Do you know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
So the sodas aren't mixed already. You squirt the syrup in a glass, and then you fill it with carbonated water, and it becomes soda.
I wish we're going to have to video us when you're talking about stuff. She did the whole squirt with the pump. And anyway.
One of these days we'll record. So whenever I worked there, I was a cook. And the area of the kitchen where I cooked, going out into the dining room of the restaurant, it was just a big window. You could see out into the dining room from the mm-hmm. kitchen. And then I had like a prep table in front of me that, well, it was behind me most of the time, but between me and that big window was a big prep table and then a little bit of kitchen. And then the door to go out to the dining room was just an open doorway. It wasn't a door. So I could see clearly out into the dining room, right? And I had this boss. He was great. He drank a whole lot and he smoked a whole lot. And so he had that smoker's cough that, mm-hmm. you know, they do it all the time. Mm-hmm. So one morning I get there, I am by myself because I opened. And so I would get to the restaurant at 5:30, something like that.
Wait a minute. You?
I know. At 18 years old. So,
well, at any age, you getting up that early?
It's crazy. So I'm back there prepping things for breakfast, getting things going. And I was looking down at the prep table facing the dining room, right? And I'm just messing with something, not looking up at all. And I hear him cough here in front of me. And I thought, that was weird. Like,
he's not here.
I didn't even hear the door because there was a bell on the door, the front door. And I look up and no one's standing there.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, so I'm hearing things. So I go back to working. Never mind anything, right? And I'm working, and I hear it again. Right in front of me. Like, right in front of me. Just 2 feet from me, maybe. Clear. I knew it was him. I heard him. I hear him do it all the time. I know mm-hmm. that noise. And so then I turn and look. Nobody's in there. at all. I am alone. There were stairs that led down. There was a bar underneath the restaurant, and there were stairs that led down. So I walk around my table, go over to the stairs, look down to make sure he's not screwing with me, like he hasn't went down the stairs. No one's there. I'm there completely by myself. No one else is in the building. And so I like hoofed it up front real quick. And I sat down right by the front door because it was starting to get light outside. And I just sat there waiting for someone else to come in because I didn't want to be in the kitchen by myself.
Oh, shit. That's funny.
It was so dumb. And it was, oh, I don't know, a month later or something like that. Same thing. I'm there by myself early in the morning, just working, getting things ready. Nobody else has come in yet. And I hear the front door open. And just kind of in my peripherals, I can see somebody moving around up there. And I'm like, oh, Desiree's here. She's the server. And I mean, it was a small enough place. We only had one server at breakfast time. And so she comes in and puts her things down and is just messing around up there. And I just see her moving around every now and then, you know, we're living our lives, doing our jobs. And I get everything kind of prepped and done. And I walk up front to go get a cup of coffee with her and talk before we open the restaurant up. Nobody was there.
What?
Yeah. So I walk up there and I'm like, the heck did she go? And we had a second dining room in the back. And so I started to walk around there and I hear the door and I turn and look and she's coming in with her purse and everything.
Like, just got like, there.
How long have you been here? She was like, what? I just got here. Like,
weirdo, don't like, you see me?
No. So she had just got there. So that one was weird because I heard the door.
You watched.
I watched
the figure?
Like it, and it wasn't even like I wasn't paying attention, so I wasn't looking at her, but I saw all the movement, and like in my mind, that made sense to me that she would come in and was messing around up front and getting things ready. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, and I was like, "You did not just get here.
Don't tell me that.
Lie to me. Lie to me. Lie to me." So that one was interesting. And so
that
place, from time to time, we would see a woman. It was a woman and long, dark hair. And you just catch a glimpse of her, like, walk across the dining room. And, like, even when it was busy, like, it could be full of people and you have a rush on a Friday night and you just see it and know.
There she is.
Yeah, I just saw her. Mm-hmm. And I know that nobody else here looks like that. Like, she was definitely not dressed in the right clothing. Yeah. She was definitely in some kind of other period clothing. And, it became, you know, once all of us started saying, hey, so this weird thing happened to me. Mm-hmm. And then somebody else is like, no way, listen what happened to me. And so once we started trading these stories, we all realized we were seeing the same woman. And that we were all having some kind of experiences. So it was quite interesting. None of us wanted to close alone. And I opened alone constantly.
Oh, wow.
But luckily we were getting into the really busy season when I started. So I didn't have to open by myself very long because we needed the extra hands to get things ready.
Right.
Before the rush. So, yeah, that was my first job.
At 18. Wow.
Yeah. It was interesting anyway because I was just 18. I had barely had a job. I washed dishes in a restaurant like for 2 weeks or something. I didn't work when I was in high school. And so I didn't have any kind of idea of what having a job was, mm-hmm. or anything, which is crazy to me. But I start this job and I started as like a soda jerk. And then they needed some help in the kitchen. So I went back to the kitchen. And this was like the first week I'm there. I moved back to the kitchen to help cook. And I come in probably my third week And he had fired the entire crew and asked me to be the head cook.
Whoa.
Uh-huh. And I was like, like, I mean, I can try to figure it out, I guess.
But yeah, you love that job. You love cooking.
I loved it. I have always wanted to own a restaurant because of that. And I don't mean like I'm a chef. I mean like I like flipping burgers and making fried shit. And I mean, you know, just yeah. like one of those like little hometown diners where you just you have a special of the day, that kind of stuff. But yeah, but it was haunted. It was a very old building and it was an eminence. And yeah, it was great. And we had a lot of fun in that place. But definitely a lot of experiences too. And so some lady was walking around just kind of checking things out all the time.
I wonder if she still walks around there. Ain't it a restaurant still?
I don't know what it is now, honestly. But you know, the weird thing is like I said, when I heard the cough, it was a man, clearly a man clearing his throat. So I don't know what that was because that was not her. I mean, if it was, I mean, it could have been her, I guess. No judging. But yeah, that was an interesting experience for me. And it was one of my first experiences ever because I was always skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I heard the stories from family of things that had happened and stuff like that. And
you're like,
Yeah, but until it happens to you, you just don't know. And actually, Lisa said, you know, she got that feeling. And I'm like, girl, I know exactly what you mean. And it's because when you have an experience, you know it. Like, most people could pass it off. And even I do it. I'm like, no, that ain't what it was. But when you're in the moment, you have a reaction to it. Your body reacts before you realize what's going on.
Really?
And that's what's kind of cool about it is I think you do have some kind of sense that there is something going on. Because yeah, it can be something like that, you know, where that was my boss, you know, I just knew that was him, but
he wasn't there.
And I had that feeling. It's like, I don't even know how to explain it.
At
it's
18
like,
and not being around this, you had that feeling.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. So I totally get it, Lisa. I get it. I get the feeling too.
I don't.
Well, maybe you haven't had an experience yet.
I know I have. Well, I've just now started paying attention since yeah. we started the podcast.
Well, know? When we, so. And actually my dad asked me, why have you not talked about the experience you had in the basement at their house? So when we were investigating their house, there was a moment where things kind of went crazy and it was really amazing. Like, could have really been awesome. But my sister kind of had a freak out. Mm-hmm. Jamie kind of got way overwhelmed and had to leave the room. She was crying. It was crazy. But I'm sitting in this chair and we were doing the spirit box. So I have blindfold on, headphones on. I don't know what's going on around me. And we're trying to talk to whomever may be listening or wanting to talk. And I just kind of shifted my weight to my right. And when I did, I bumped into somebody.
And you was pretty much in the middle of the floor.
Oh, yeah. And there was no one around me.
You. Mm-hmm.
And I felt it. It was somebody standing next to me that I just bumped with my arm.
And just got goosebumps.
Immediately, like, that feeling. It was that feeling. My whole body was shaking. And I was just totally overwhelmed with it. Like, I was scared. Because I knew somebody was standing next to me, but I knew nobody
mm-hmm. None
that,
of us
that we alive. Were we were there with was standing there because everybody was across the room from me. And it was just my whole body reacted. And
I seen you jerk back mm-hmm. at one point. Like, you leaned over and then it's like you bumped into something. Like, yeah. You just kind of like shifted back real fast.
Yeah. But like, the reaction of my body, that's what told me something's going on. Like, mm-hmm. something is about to go down.
It was very and hectic at
it was. So then they bring me out of it. They tap me right after this. I'm sitting there just shaking and I'm like, I can't wait to watch this video because I know you can see me shaking in this video because that's how hard I was shaking. And like, I don't get scared, but
you
I was in it. Oh my gosh. And so they tap me to say, hey, come out of it. So I take off the blindfold and I pull off my headphones. Jamie is screaming and crying from the other room. My mom comes running in screaming. And I was like, what the heck is happening out here, guys? Because I had no idea until I came out and everything had went completely crazy. And so we didn't get a video because for some reason, that is the only time ever that Terry's camera malfunctioned and deleted a video.
It went completely black. In the middle of a session.
It's insane.
Battery was brand new.
The camera was brand new. The
camera's brand new.
It's so frustrating that we didn't get that
and
video.
I had used the camera for a good hour and a half beforehand because so I didn't accidentally push anything. Mm-hmm. I had the video down, the system down.
Yeah. I don't know. It was crazy.
And it did it twice. It did it one other time after that.
Uh-huh. But during that same moment. Yep. Like you started it again, yep. And it cut off again. Mm-hmm.
The same energy, whatever that we connected with, did not like the camera.
I guess not. It's so frustrating because that was like amazing, amazing things were happening in that time, and that just happened to be when the camera went out, which tells me even more, maybe. But so there you go, Dad. I told about it.
Do you remember what kind of stuff was said during that session?
No, I don't. That's what I mean. Like, I'm under, I'm just saying words. I don't have any mm-hmm. idea. And so they don't make sense to me. So I don't have any kind of reference to remember them by.
I can't remember what all was going on because there was so much going on.
Yeah.
I just remember it was all personal to Jamie and it freaked her out quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it just got too much for her and she had to bail.
Because she was kind of freaked out about downstairs of their old house anyway because of stuff.
Uh-huh. So that's fun. I thought I'd just share that one since Dad was like, why have you not talked about that? Like, did it bother you that bad? And I'm like, it kind of scared the shit out of me. Yeah. But anyway, that is Show Me Your Boost. I love these because we can be a little bit more laid back and less formal, like river formal. You know what I mean? Like just a little more fun and just talk to you people as people.
You people.
Talk to you people as other people.
Our people.
And that is our people. I love our people. So continue listening for us. Thank you. The reviews, they're helpful. Please don't forget to do that. And merch, we have the merch available. I promise you we will take a picture of us with merch and put it on Facebook. We still haven't done that.
It's 2 weeks that we've failed.
Such a failure. But anyway, so if you want to share your story, we would love to have more stories so I don't have to tell my story. So
because you have them saved where?
In my head.
Oh. So
no, we were supposed to have we were supposed to have two more people actually come on and tell their stories and they had to cancel at the last minute. So I was totally prepared. It just kind of fell through on me. So you get my stories instead. That's okay. That's fine. It's great. It's fun.
Calm down.
I know.
I wish I could help.
I know. You have no experiences. I can't believe you have no experiences.
So
do you think maybe that you've had experiences and you were just like ignored them, you know?
You know how gooberish I am. I thought somebody could ghost could flop out in front of me. I'd be like, oh, just not even see it.
Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Oh, you're not real.
Oh, whatever.
What are you going to do?
Exactly.
All right, guys. Have a fantastic week. We're going to do something fun next week.
We are?
No, probably not. It's another murder, so. Those aren't fun. Or a true crime. I guess I can't say murder, because sometimes we might want to do, like, a bank robbery or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun.
It's Labor Day weekend, right?
It is! Happy Labor Day!
There you go.
I forgot.
Happy Labor Day, everybody.
Hopefully everybody got a long 3-day weekend.
Some people probably did not, though.
Yeah. Anyway.
But you do. And I do. But I did get called in last weekend, so it's like...
We're raising our glasses to those of you who have to work on Labor Day.
Woo! We love you guys.
We love you so much. Have a fantastic week and stay safe and healthy.
Bye, guys.
Bye.